This is County Close Up, news from Halliburton County with Elizabeth Oakley.
For 47 years, Miles Mon has answered the call for the Dysart Fire Department. On December 31st, 2024, he turned in his pager and hung up his fire helmet as he begins his retirement. We invited Miles into the Canoe FM studio to share some of his memories and reflect on how much his colleagues and his community mean to him. Here is that conversation.
So you have had a long and storied career. I understand you began your work with the fire department in Dysart when you were 20 in 1977.
That is correct.
Wow. A lifetime of commitment and service to the fire department. What captured your interest? Why did you stay with them so long? What was it about being a firefighter?
Well, it started off driving the red trucks fast. And I just started a new job with the municipality on the roads department, and three of the men at the work were on the fire department. So they kind of said, well, are you interested? And so I said, sure, that'd be interesting. So I started. And after a few years, then I got really interested and I started taking some courses that they offered and became a captain in about 86 or 87. And then it progressed from there, became more and more training, and got, and then in 91, they asked me to take over as fire chief, which was a volunteer position at that time. I still worked on for the township, so I had some leeway to leave for calls and do some of the paperwork. Then in, 98, I took over as the road superintendent, but still kept the fire chief job. And so that was challenging. For the next 8 years, I did both. It got so that it was just too much. And so they hired a road superintendent, and I took over as fire chief, just fire chief, full-time. And for the last 8 years of my career, I was full-time fire chief. Then in 2016, I retired from the fire chief, but I stayed on as a captain and did the training and responded to calls up until 2024. I decided it was time to get out.
And what motivated you to retire for the second time?
Well, it's getting more physical, the job. I'm not getting any younger. And one particular call, it was out near where I live. So I went and did CPR on a first person that was VSA. By the time the ambulance got there, I continued CPR. By the time the firefighters got there, I could hardly get up off my knees. So I had to get help. And I thought, this isn't good. Yeah. It's time to get out.
In that time, I mean, I'm sure firefighting has changed since when you started in 1977. And can you tell me about that, how it's changed, not just the physical demands of it, but actually an area that, has a vibrant cottage population during the summer? How has firefighting changed for you over the years? What have you noticed?
What I've noticed is when I first joined, we were doing about 40 or 50 calls. Was all we were doing. And a lot of them were stuff like chimney fires and dump fires. And now I find that people they're renting their cottages, there's people here from May till the end of October. And so there's more people. We also went to tiered response with the ambulance. So we respond to about five or six different criteria where we get called, because if you go to Canise, you can't wait for them to get there and then say, we need help. So we leave at the same time as them. So we'd have, instead of probably half of our calls were medical calls in the last year or two. So with the ambulance.
So you went from 40 calls, is that a per year?
Per year.
To what
average? Last 2 years, they've been over 440.
Wow.
So it's a big commitment. And the training, we train every Monday night for 2 hours. So it's And there's a rule or a bylaw that says we should be maintaining 60% of that time attendance, which is important because people have to keep the skills up. I think there's 9 or 10 specific drills that you have to do, running the pumper, running portable pumps, doing the auto extrication, that by the time you do them once, you have to start over again and review them again. So it becomes, if you miss one night, it might be 3 months before you get to do it again. And so it's important that you attend practice.
And stay sharp. I would think that keeps your skills at a very high level, because you can't have an off day. When that bell rings, you've got to respond. That's a certain level of preparedness that you have to keep up all the time, yes?
That is correct. And you don't know what you're going to get. Like, every call was different. There's hardly ever two the same, so you have to be prepared. The other thing is, depending on where you are when the call comes in, because I lived out of town, I would be sometimes closer to the call and go direct, and you'd be first on scene. So you have to establish what you need, where you want it, and all that.
What are some of the calls that have had the most impact on you?
I would say that fire-wise, we had a Main Street fire here in town. We were there for like 12 hours, and then we had to shift overnight so that some people could go have a sleep and then come back the next day.
When was this? In
1986.
Yeah. Did you discover the cause?
They brought in the fire marshal at the time, the investigator and I was just a firefighter, so I wasn't privy to all the information, but they suspected it was from light ballast, a fluorescent light ballast.
Oh my gosh.
That part of it I really enjoyed.
Yes.
When I did become chief, trying to determine where the fire started and why, and took a few courses. And whenever the fire marshal, we called them in, and we've had them in quite a few times, they would always go through their process with us so that we gained some education that way and knew what to look for the next time. I enjoyed that part of it.
If somebody's imagining what the life of a firefighter is, what do they not know?
Most of them people don't realize the commitment. So there's the training. Now we're averaging, say, 8 calls a week, and most of them are an hour. But if you're going to Kneese, it's 2 hours. That part of it is a big commitment. The other is the training. There's extra training. When you first join, they've set up a training course now that takes 6 months, and it brings you up to speed. When I joined, you joined, and as the guys went out, you seen what they did and learned from who was there.
On-the-job training.
Yes. And right now it's more formalized so that everybody gets trained to a certain level before they even attend to a fire, so which is good.
How does a small town fire department such as Dysart, how do they stack up against the big boys in really large urban centers?
I think that we do just as well a job. We do all the same things. We go inside and burning buildings. We put the wet stuff on the red stuff. But the big thing I see is in a full-time department, when you come into work, you're a pump operator. That's all you do, drive the truck. Somebody else, they're doing rescue. When we go in, we don't know what we're going to be doing. If you're the first one there, you're driving the truck if you have the license. When you get to a scene, who's ever in charge will direct you to what you're doing. So you might be running portable pumps. You might be on the jaws. You may be just flagging at a car accident. So there's a lot of jobs that have to be done, and you don't know until you get there what you're going to be doing.
So it's less specialization here and more Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. You can be doing anything on any particular day.
What's the most rewarding part when you look back on your career? What are you proud of?
One of the things I did when I was fire chief is the first fire chief, Thomas Chambers, was killed in a fire, and it was never recognized. I put a plaque up.
Honoring him.
Yeah.
That's a very special and kind thing to do. I bet you his family really appreciated it.
I hope so.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lovely gesture.
And that's part of another job that, you know, people don't realize, that you do public relations. There's a lot of presentations to school kids, to groups, teaching them how to use fire extinguishers. One of the best fire extinguishers, I taught community living people how to use fire extinguishers.
Oh, that would be wonderful, what they would pick up from that.
They just hang on every word that you say.
Oh, that's
it's
rewarding. Good for you. And your lovely wife,
Marina.
Let's talk about how she supported you.
That might be hard. She's always been supportive. She didn't always like when I left during a meal or just before a meal or while I was barbecuing or if it was off in the middle of the night. She's always supported me, and most spouses, that's part of being a spouse of a firefighter.
When you sign up, they sign up.
Right. And most people don't even think of the what they have to put up with.
Absolutely. You alluded
I've
to it earlier.
I've left her on the golf course. I've left her shopping. She didn't bother complaining about that, but I've left her in lots of restaurants. And
the span of your career, you've worked with some really amazing colleagues. What kind of gratitude do you have to the Dysart Fire Department for your time spent with them?
Well, I was very fortunate because it became a career for me. I've worked with over 100 volunteers throughout my career there, and they supported me the whole time. And that's one of the reasons I backed it in. I didn't want to become a burden to them.
But what a career. And what a family you've made with these colleagues.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, you have to trust them. Like every call, if you are going in with them, you have to have their back and they have to have your back. So it's important that you can trust them in whatever you do. It's one of the few things where if you're told to do something, you're supposed to do it.
So you've handed the reins over.
I passed my pager in on December 31st, I feel like I've lost it. I keep feeling for it because we had actually pagers for the last 35 years.
Yeah.
And like, because I was a captain and fire chief, it was a radio. Like, it's not just a small little pager. It was always, and so I do notice that missing.
Well, this has been an absolute pleasure, and I really appreciate you coming into the studio and speaking about your memories of a time spent with the Dysart Fire Department. It has been an absolute delight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
County Close Up is made possible through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. You can find more stories from Haliburton County on canoefm.com and frequencynews.ca. This is Elizabeth Oakley for County Close Up.